Cougar Sports Saturday.
It's complete and another touchdown!
Cougar Sports Saturday. Saturday. A presentation of KSL Sports.
KSL Sports.
Left wing for three.
He got it again!
BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans for Cougar fans. Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. On Utah's legacy home of the Cougars. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
What's up, Cougar Nation? Welcome in to another edition of Cougar Sports Saturday. And boy, do we have a lot to talk about after a wild week in the world of BYU sports. When the week started, Mitch, they did not have a coach. And then their coaching announcement made waves in the NBA. Kevin Young getting hired earlier in the week. He's already spoken at his initial press conference. We were there. We've got a lot of sound bites, a lot of breakdowns. And then, oh, by the way, we're going to have some guests to help break this down. Jake Toulson is going to join us in 1 hour from now. He finished his career at BYU. He was a part of a Pope coaching change at Utah Valley, so it'll be nice to get his perspective. And we'll dabble a little football in there as well with Jake Retzlaff, but man, a lot of fun ahead in the world of BYU.
It's going to be a huge show as always. These are historic times because you think about it, you know, coaching changes don't happen often
right
at BYU. And when it does happen, it's a big, big deal. And that's where we start things off here on Cougar Sports Saturday.
The Leadoff. A look at the stories making headlines right now. It's time for the Leadoff on Cougar Sports Saturday.
Welcome to KYU, Kevin Young, now the BYU basketball head coach. What's up, brother? I know Cougar Nation's ready for Kevin Young to be taking over this BYU basketball program. When it went down, Matt, and you heard that Kevin Young was officially going to be the head coach at BYU, just kind of take us through your thought process and what was running through your mind when BYU gets that done.
It was the most exciting coaching hire that I can remember in my lifetime. And we're going to break it all down. There's a lot of ways this can go. We're also curious what you guys think, Cougar Nation. Text us 57500. We're going to open the phone lines, too.
Yes.
I mean, it's that historic of a day, Mitch, so let's open up the phone lines. We've never done this before in Cougar Sports Saturday. 801-575-8255. What are your thoughts on the hiring of Kevin Young? Look, Tuesday morning was crazy. There were rumors, and it really started, what, Monday night, where
yes,
you started to get a sense that maybe it is going to be Kevin Young. Because last week on the show, we talked at length about all the different options. We even talked about Kevin Young, but it just seemed so out of reach. A guy that was the highest NBA assistant head coach, why would he leave? Why would he come to BYU? And I think we got those answers, and we'll play some sound from Kevin Young in his press conference later in the show. But when he got brought on, and the news was broken by Adrian Wojnarowski, he's famous for breaking news.
Woj bomb.
Famous for breaking news in the world of the NBA. That was crazy. And then you hear about the numbers, a 7-year deal, around $30 million. It was so exciting on so many levels, but to land someone of that caliber, it's never happened. And they've had quieter coaching hires that have worked out. Mark Pope was that way. When he came, he seemed like the ideal fit, but he was coming from Utah Valley, and he didn't win at Utah Valley. And so, look, he had the history with Dave Rose, and he was a previous assistant, but that wasn't a splashy hire. Neither was Dave Rose. Dave Rose was kind of the same type of hire where he was on the staff with Coach Cleveland and let's elevate him and see what he can do. Both of those were great hires for BYU basketball, and they worked out very well. But when had they went out and grabbed someone that you felt like probably wasn't going to come? I don't think it's ever happened, and it was so exciting as it all unfolded on Tuesday.
It was pretty special, and for BYU to ever get a splashy hire, it's pretty remarkable. I mean, the only time I can think between football and men's basketball that BYU made a splash and a head coach hire was probably Gary Crowen. Now, I'm not cursing Kevin Young to Gary Crowen's tenure, but that was a big splash too. NFL guy, OC, who had the Chicago Bears, who have never had a 4,000-yard passer. They actually had success with Cade McNown at quarterback when Gary Crowen was there. So, you know, that's probably the only other time there was a big splash in a head coach, because typically with BYU, you're getting up-and-comers. And the great thing about Kevin Young is that he's still an up-and-comer that has he sees the value and the potential in BYU. And what's so fascinating as well is that he has no connections to BYU. And it makes me I'm so fascinated to see how this works, because when Mark Pope was hired, when Dave Rose was hired, you had a really good sense of what direction they would assemble a staff, how they would assemble a roster. I remember following UVU closely with Mark Pope, and it was transfer heavy, getting, you know, Oklahoma, A.K. Manning type transfers. And I'm thinking,
right,
he's going to bring that to BYU. Kevin Young coming from the NBA, there's so many unknowns, and it's just such a fascinating dynamic. And then you pair it up with, you're in the Big 12, you got a successful basketball program, can you take it to the higher level? And I think Kevin Young's a great choice for BYU to potentially achieve that.
I think so as well. We talked about this on our breakdown after the presser on our Cougar Sports Saturday podcast feed. It just feels like there's not a lot of negatives. And I think something that is also so exciting about Kevin Young coming down here is all the other hires, it felt like a stepping stone. And that ultimately proved to be true for Mark Pope. Others came here, and I think Kalani's even in this boat, where he could have taken another step, but he loves BYU and he stayed. And that was the same with Dave Rose. He could have taken another step, but he valued BYU. This isn't a case where someone is at a lower level going to BYU, and then you have to worry about, if he has too much success, is he going to leave and we're going to be back here? He was at a higher level than BYU and chose to come to BYU. It's the opposite of Mark Pope. And that has me so excited, because if he does end up building something down the road, he wants to be here. He wants to stay. And I think a lot of people wondered, Mitch, why is he leaving the NBA? Because, look, he had several opportunities to become a head coach. Even in this coaching cycle, Mitch, he could have accepted one of those jobs. He did not. This is what Kevin Young had to say about turning down being the head man in the NBA.
Truth be told, it's never actually really been my dream to be a head coach in the NBA. I love basketball. I love working with young players. I love developing players. I love building relationships. And again, to be able to do all those things at a place that has the family atmosphere that I so desired for my kids and my wife to be around, it actually became a really easy choice.
That's huge for BYU, because I think at BYU, more than most places, you want someone that just truly sees BYU as a destination. And maybe it's just the fact that BYU fans have been spoiled by guys like Lavelle, Dave Rose. Like, BYU doesn't know
the
losing
Mark
a coach in the middle of the night and then he's gone. They don't know that. Even when Bronco left, it was a case of he did a post-press conference.
And I'm staying through the bowl game.
And it was just like, he's still around for 2 weeks, and he's got another job. It was just so weird. They're not used to what Mark Pope did. And, you know, it's okay. I think BYU's better off long-term moving forward. But, you know, it was a little bit tiresome at times every offseason to have to go through, is Pope linked to this job? Is he going to get this job potentially?
Right.
And there's always that unknown of, would he have taken any other job besides Kentucky? But I just like this hire and what it signals, too, for the potential of BYU. And also, Matt, I think more importantly than anything, BYU is telling their fan base, your investment into BYU, yes, you maybe don't get all the fan fest, maybe you don't get the access you once did, but the money you are paying, we are investing back into these teams. And I think for Cougar fans, that is a world of good, that they actually care and that they want to win at the highest levels. This type of hire doesn't guarantee you're going to win at the highest levels. Money's never guaranteed that, but it is sending a message that they're willing to go chase Big 12 titles, and I think Cougar Nation can appreciate that.
Yes, 100%. And coming back to Kevin Young a little bit too, Mitch, I loved in that clip that we just heard where he talked about relationships. And I feel like in today's college basketball, look, you got to be able to sell the NBA, which he can. BYU's never had a coach that can sell the NBA like Kevin Young, ever. And they've had some really good coaches. Dave Rose was great. He got Jimmer Fredette in there, and that was it. Mark Pope, nobody drafted under his watch. But now you've got a coach who can legitimately say, hey, you want to talk to Chris Paul? Let's give him a call. Or I've got a close relationship with Devin Booker. Listen to what Devin Booker had to say earlier in the week. They're having a playoff game here this afternoon. Here's what Devin Booker had to say about Kevin Young.
KYU.
KY.
Okay. Now, I'm excited for him and his family. Somebody that I developed a great relationship with. Somebody that, you know, I wish I could have played college basketball for or have somebody like him recruit me. You know, so I'm be keeping close eyes on their program and everything that he's doing. I know they're in really good hands. I know he got a good deal.
Yes, he did.
So, you know, it's good to see, you know, him and his family taken care of.
Pretty strong words from Booker that he, remember, he graduated from Kentucky.
I was going to say, that adds a nice little touch in this,
yes, it does.
In this dynamic for BYU.
Played at Kentucky and says, I wish I could have played for Kevin Young. Like, that matters. That I feel like that is going to serve Kevin Young well on the recruiting trail that so many guys at the highest level of that sport speak so highly of him. How can you not get fired up about that?
Well, and think about the guys he's coached and worked around. Devin Booker, Chris Paul, Joel Embiid, Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, J.J. Redick. I mean, some big-time basketball names. And he's pretty universally respected. And I think that he's – what I love, too, about Kevin Young, and we'll dive into his background over the next few months and years as the BYU basketball head coach, but – I love, too, that he's a guy that started from the bottom.
Yep.
And I think there's an appreciation when you get to the top of something where it's like, you know, you were once just a normal dude that was just kind of like us, you know, like in society. And I think there's a relatability there that is kind of refreshing because sometimes I think when people get to the highest of highs, they just feel like they're almost
bigger than life.
Yeah, you can't relate to them. And I think Kevin Young's got that relatability. Look, I got to get to know Kevin Young even more. I mean, because in this coaching search going in, I mean, I don't follow the NBA. I'm not working the phone lines with the NBA and whatnot and covering the NBA scene. And I just really thought when you look at BYU's coaching search, you thought it's going to be hard to get that guy out. But I just think that, you know, his respect and the fact that he's going to be someone that's approachable and just getting to know him that one night in person. Just really kind guy. I'm curious to see how he does at BYU, how he constructs a roster. We'll talk more about this Kevin Young hire coming up on the next segment. We'll take some of your phone calls, too, 801-575-8255. More Kevin Young breakdown here on Cougar Sports Saturday. It's powered by KSL Sports. The Kevin Young era is underway for BYU basketball, but while he's... Before he gets completely settled in Provo, he is going to coach with the Phoenix Suns. He's going to finish out the job as the associate head coach on Frank Vogel's bench. I've never been so excited in my life for a Suns-T-Wolves game. Game one today, 1:30
p.m. How much airtime do you think Young will get?
Probably not much. I bet he'll get a mention.
Yeah.
I bet there'll be...
It's probably the first sideline hit, honestly.
Yeah, because it's... I think on a game one where there's nothing at stake yet, I mean, yes, they're all huge games in the playoffs, but it'll be a nice filler story for a sideline reporter to work that in. I think it'll probably get a mention for sure.
Yeah, I think so. We'll take your calls and text 57500 if you want to text in, and we'll take some calls as well because it's, like Mitch said earlier, it's not every day, it's not every show that we're talking about a coaching change. This is the second coaching change we've experienced on this show since you and I have been here. Mm-hmm. Right when we started, Mark Pope showed up. So you and I covered the whole entire Mark Pope era. And then the football hasn't changed since. There's been some assistant changes, but no head coaching change since we've been on the show. 801-575-8255. Should we get to the phone line?
Let's do it.
Let's get to the phone line.
Who do we have?
I think we have Linda, a regular caller from our Cougar Nation show, which, by the way, that's on hiatus right now because there's no games to react to. But when the football season picks back up, Cougar Nation will return Monday nights. Linda, hello. How are you doing? And what did you think of the coaching change for BYU basketball?
Oh, I'm doing just fine, and I'm really happy about it. I was a little shocked at first when I heard that Coach Pope was going to Kentucky, and I wondered what was going to happen. I worried along with everybody else, and I'm glad it's turned out the way it is, because it sounds like most of the players are coming back. If we could just get those others too. I know we've lost Ollie Kalipa. Anyway, I just hope everybody else comes back.
It's a good point, Linda, and I think that's the biggest challenge ahead of Coach Young right now. Dallin Hall and Richie Saunders still in the portal. Ollie Kalipa, who Linda referenced, committed to Louisville, though he's redshirting this year, so he wouldn't have played anyways. I guess he could have played, but I think he's having knee surgery, so that's going to set him back. And then we've heard from Trevin Nell. He's committed to the program. So I think there is still a fair bit of what's the word I'm looking for? There's still a fair bit of uncertainty in this coaching search. Not coaching search, the roster is what I mean. But it's a big challenge. And figuring this thing out, I think Linda brings up a good point, Mitch. Returning as many players as you can is critical. I think it is noteworthy that there have been no new names in the portal in the past 3 or 4 days, because Kevin Young spoke to the team initially on Zoom, and then before the press conference on Wednesday night, they all met in the locker room, and he kind of gave his pitch as to what kind of program he wants to build and what he's all about. And since that time, no Foose in the portal, no Atiki in the portal, no Noah Waterman in the portal. So I think that message was well received for those who maybe wanted to hear him first before making a decision.
There's a lot of challenges in front of Kevin Young, but he's definitely excited for those challenges.
This is a new challenge for me. I've been on a different side of basketball all of my career, and as I went through the process getting to this decision, the excitement I had for the new challenge at hand in terms of transitioning to the college world, coming from the world I was in, got me extremely excited the more I started to wrap my head around what that looks like. And the thing that really moved the needle for me and my wife was the environment that we're going to be doing it in here at BYU.
I just love hearing that, Mitch. Look, I don't blame Mark Pope for going to Kentucky. I think we all knew. We talked about it on the show.
Yeah.
If Kentucky comes calling, he's going.
I thought he was going to leave for Louisville if they came calling.
You're right.
I mean, we were talking about it before the NCAA tournament.
Right. Good point. And it ends up being Kentucky. So it's hard. You can't have hard feelings about that. But to hear him talk about, I want to be here, this environment, that is so nice, because you just didn't hear that a lot from Coach Pope. Like, he said a lot of good things, but I never felt like he just loves being here.
He kept everyone on their heels.
Yes.
With that Arizona search, and just always were on your heels with Mark Pope, whereas Kevin Young, by going from the NBA to BYU, yeah, he wants to be here at BYU. Taking another break, news, traffic, and weather. We'll get to some of our reactions, the overreactions, the under-the-radar reactions to this hire of Kevin Young next year on Cougar Sports Saturday.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
It's complete and another touchdown!
Cougar Sports Saturday. A presentation of KSL Sports. KSL Sports.
Left wing for three.
He got it again!
BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans for Cougar fans. Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte, on Utah's legacy home of the Cougars, KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back in. We're breaking down BYU basketball's splashy, exciting hire, Kevin Young, coming down from the Phoenix Suns whenever that playoff run ends, to be the head coach at BYU. So he'll be juggling both jobs for quite a bit. Mentioned retaining his players was top priority, and then getting an assistant coaching staff in place. We haven't got any official announcements on what that staff is going to look like. I did think it was noteworthy that Nate Austin, Colin Terry, and Nick Robinson were there. They're still in the mix.
At the press conference.
Right. Cody Feger was not there, and since then it's sort of been confirmed and reported that he's heading with Coach Pope to Kentucky. So Feger is gone, but there's still possibility you retain a couple people. If that's the route Kevin Young wants to go, it's a very different pool of names. Like, Kevin Young's Rolodex is not heavy in college basketball. So It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. I would imagine there's going to be at least one other NBA coach that comes down. That's just my hunch, just because that's where his connections are. And maybe there's other guys that felt like he did, where it's like, I want to step down and have a different kind of lifestyle. The NBA season is long and hard. I think that is the one selling point for college basketball is, yeah, you got the portal and you got NIL, and that's crazy and that's not ideal. But also, our season is from November to the beginning of April. So it's a different demand. And I think that was a selling point to Kevin Young to get him down here, that, hey, we're not going to run you ragged like the NBA. Like, he's got little kids. He talked about how he wants them to be a part of this BYU family and grow up in it. He can't be the only one that appeals to, and it's going to be fascinating, Mitch, to see how he fleshes out that assistant coaching staff. Urgency is key, because depending on how long Phoenix goes, it might be hard to build a roster without a staff.
No question. And I think that when you talk about assembling that staff, I hope that he does have a guy with NBA connections on the staff and someone that he's close to just from a working relationship. I think it would also be nice to retain someone, as you noted, one of those names, for continuity's sake. But, you know, whatever Kevin Young wants, he should get.
Yes.
Because make him happy, and I think it'll work out okay. It's going to be, you know, a process to, you know, establish the program in what he wants it to be. And I think what's great for Kevin Young is that he steps into a BYU program that has history of success, but at the same time, there's still so much more to achieve. Mark Pope had great success, and I thought he did a fantastic job at BYU, but he left a lot on the table. He didn't win a conference. He didn't win a conference tournament. He didn't win an NCAA tournament game. He didn't produce an all-conference first-team player. He didn't. It's not like Kalen DeBoer replacing Nick Saban. You know, Kevin Young stepping into the shoes of a guy that was good and really successful at BYU, but his challenge is to take it to a higher level. What makes it interesting, too, is that it's going to be in the toughest basketball conference in America. There's right. No four-year ramp-up in the WCC, and you can argue that the league will get better next year with the addition of Arizona, Colorado, Arizona State, and Utah. So this conference is going to be so loaded. It's going to be so good. And I honestly believe, too, Matt, if you're not in the Big 12, you're not getting Kevin Young. If this was the WCC, you're not getting this guy.
No.
There's no way you'd be getting this guy if they were still in the WCC. So the perks of power conference living are already benefiting BYU. But what would you say maybe is maybe an under-the-radar piece that is getting often overlooked since this hire happened on Tuesday that not enough people are talking about, in your opinion?
I think an under-the-radar aspect to this hire is that you're going to have some continuity for a while. This is a 7-year deal, Mitch. And, you know, unless things unravel to epic proportions, which I just don't see that happening, you're going to keep this guy for this deal, and you're probably going to extend this guy.
And BYU doesn't still probably want to pay huge buyouts.
No, they don't want to. They don't want to pay buyouts. They've only fired one guy, and it really was because of the off the field stuff.
Credit, I don't think he realizes it. Matt Norlander at CBS Sports, he got the white whale of scoops at BYU World. Yeah. A salary. And if you're BYU, honestly, I'd be like, hey, report this, because this is a narrative changer. That salary being leaked out. But I don't know if Norlander understands how massive a scoop is that is in our world covering BYU, because that's just, you know, we've always kind of speculated and taken educated guesses at what those salaries could be. But
right.
To have it out there, 7 years, $30 million. Big time.
Yeah, I guess I would say, in specific to that, it's the 7-year piece that's not being talked about enough, just because there's a real continuity here. He talked about it over and over again. In fact, this is what he said about BYU, the destination, and what it means for coaches and players alike.
Players want to play here. I've learned that quickly. Players want to play here, and coaches want to coach here. And I'm in the process now of putting together a staff, talking to a lot of different people. This is a very desirable place to be. I look forward to teaming up with a lot of elite people that we're going to get in here to do this thing together. And with that, let's go Cougs.
I'm just so stoked to have someone that wants to be here for a long time. I think that means a lot in college basketball. You got the Dan Hurley situations, Mitch, where someone comes in and relatively quickly builds it up. But for the most part, teams that have true staying power right now, Gonzaga, coach has been there a long time. Baylor, coach has been there a long time. Kansas, Bill Self's been there for a minute. So if you can get someone that believes in this university and that's where he wants to be, I think that's big time, not being talked about enough. What about you?
I think for me that he is making a push to brand BYU as a place that is preparing players for the NBA. This was Kevin Young on preparation for the NBA for players.
What I want to do to take it to the next level is make this place the best place in college basketball to prepare young men to play in the NBA. And I think with my background, I think we're going to be able to get that done. And I really look forward to doing that.
That quote is so significant to me because, I mean, I've been following BYU basketball very close since the days of Roger Reed. I remember sitting in the Marriott Center, 3,000 fans in the Marriott Center for that 1-25 team at the Cougar Classic, and that was rock bottom for BYU basketball, and to see the growth. And at no point has this program ever been looked at as a place that gets guys ready for the league.
No.
I mean, think about it. Since Jimmer Fredette and all the winning that's happened at BYU, no draft picks. Jimmer Fredette's the last draft pick. I mean, in my lifetime, you can count them on one hand. Travis Hanson, Trent Plaisted. Am I missing
Jimmer.
Any? Jimmer.
No, you're not missing. Arujo.
Yes, Arujo. He was a lottery pick, too. But then you dive into those careers, no success. None. No success at all. There's been a few 10-day contracts. Kyle Collinsworth, Brandon Davies. There's been a few. But if you can get this program to suddenly have players prepared to have success and get two-way deals and be in the NBA, that'd be huge, Matt. And I think that Kevin Young, that type of pitch, I think is going to resonate for recruits. Yes, you're still going to have the hurdles of the honor code, which I don't believe is the biggest hurdle and hang-up for BYU. You have also a hurdle of you will still have to go to school at BYU. They value the academics. But if the athlete embraces BYU and it has a great attitude and approach to it, you will succeed at BYU. And this coach, with his connections, will get you ready for the NBA.
From an overreaction standpoint, I'll go first. I'm really reaching for straws here because I don't feel like I'm overreacting in any form or fashion.
It's hard to find negatives.
It's hard to find, like, look, the money, that's not an overreaction. Like, that is significant. That is such a huge piece. Let's discuss that next in the next segment, just how big of a deal the financial piece of this is and what it means for BYU athletics. Maybe a fair overreaction would be, I just assumed, okay, everyone's coming back. Like, this dude, he's got the NBA connections. Like, I just thought, look, Kevin Young is not as charismatic as Mark Pope. The press conference probably didn't have as much juice as Pope did at Kentucky, but I was all in, man. I was eating up every word. Yeah. I just felt like I want to play for this dude. I'm too small to play, and I'm too old, but I want to play for this guy. I just felt like, how could he not hear this and be like, this is where I got to be. If the NIL's right, this coach is right, I got to be here, and we haven't seen anyone really come back yet, Richie or Downhall. So maybe that was my overreaction. I just felt like, okay, it's stabilized. Everyone's coming back. That might still happen, just hasn't yet.
And I think my overreaction kind of ties into that a little bit, where I'm willing to give this new coach a little bit of grace period in year one. You know, I don't feel like right now, with what we know of the roster, clearly this team is, as it's currently constructed, they would not be better than this past season. Still a long way to go to construct the roster. But I'm willing to say, you know, a year of grace, that there might be a little bit of a step back. Because I think what often gets forgotten last year, this past season, you had a favorable schedule by Big 12 standards.
Good point.
You didn't play Houston twice. You didn't play Kansas twice. You didn't play, you know, some of these other teams. I'm trying to think. You played Oklahoma State twice. You played West Virginia once on the road. There just were some breaks that went BYU's way.
You didn't go to Cincinnati.
And you still had, despite all your successes, you still lost to Duquesne. You still lost to Oklahoma State. You still lost to Kansas State. I'm just willing to kind of say, you know, this could be an 18-win team, but guess what? That could still be good enough to go to the NCAA. And I just think that long-term, this program's going to be better off. They're going to have more stability. They're going to have its go-to leader that's going to be the face of the program, and there's not going to be this feeling of he's going to bounce at a moment's notice. I feel like there's also going to be a better partnership where, I mean, I thought it was noteworthy this week when Tom Homel told BYU TV he found out that Mark Pope was leaving to Kentucky by Kentucky's AD. It wasn't Mark Pope calling and saying, hey, Tom, I'm leaving. It was Kentucky's AD.
That stuff rubs me the wrong way.
I won't
deny it. I still feel my overarching feeling about the situation is good for Mark Pope.
100%.
This is where he wants to be. But could you have done it in a better way?
You got to call Tom. You got to call Santiago and say, hey, guys.
Thank you.
This is what's happening. You knew this was my dream. I'm going there. You find out from the AD? That's how Tom phrased it. He's on the beach in Florida, and he gets a call from Mitch Barnhart.
That's not great, honestly. And Pope better have success at Kentucky because all this stuff, if he hits the open market via a firing because he doesn't have success,
oh yeah,
he's burned some bridges.
Well, and also, too, you know, Kevin Young, I think Cougar Nation is willing to give a little bit of grace and patience.
Oh, totally.
I think for 1 year, you know, I think year two is when you start to see it build back up. Mark Pope don't have that.
No.
Mark Pope has to get to, at a minimum, Sweet 16, or else his team will get cooking.
Maybe that might be a little high for year one, but he has to win a tournament game in year one.
He can't lose to Oakland.
No.
And initially, that Oakland sharpshooter who just only shoots threes, BYU fans were looking at him as public enemy number one. They should be thrilled now.
Hey,
because
look,
you got Kevin Young.
I do feel like the long-term health of BYU basketball is in a better place today than it was a week ago with Mark Pope.
Definitely. I agree. And I just think there will be some short-term heartache and pains that will have naturally happen. I mean, it's tough to have Dallin Hall in the portal. It's tough to have Richie Saunders in the portal.
But so, this is a little bit of a tangent, but Khalif announces to Louisville. That was nice. His commentary to BYU.
I think
it the right way.
I think that the best thing is that, you know, players are going to come and go in this era. You want to just have that set leader and stability at the head coach position. Kevin Young, I think, is going to be given every opportunity to succeed. And now it's about him just delivering and producing a great product for BYU. And I think it'll take a little bit of time. But, hey, we also thought, you know, Mark Pope would have a little bit of transition in year one. Then he hit it out of the park, too. So
right.
BYU is a place that can surprise you, and programs in college basketball can come together in short order. And I think with having a guy like Kevin Young be as savvy as he is when it comes to devising offensive schemes, I think it's going to be a lot of fun to see this thing come together.
He also had the luxury, though, of bringing that UVU team with him and Jake Toulson being a part of that. He'll join us in about 10 minutes from now. Let's take a break. On the other side, let's talk about this deal. How often do we get to talk about the contract of a coach? Let's dive into that next. Something we don't get to do a lot of on Cougar Sports Saturday is dive into the contract with BYU being a private university.
I feel like Jeff Kaplan, Utah's money. Cha-ching! It's like right before Cougar tracks, we need like the money sounder.
Cha-ching! I love how a couple interesting notes from the Tom Homel interview on BYU TV.
We did not get to interview Tom, unfortunately.
We didn't get to do it, sadly. He noted that, look, we're never going to disclose the contract, even though it's out there, thanks to Matt Norlander. And then he also, I thought this was a juicy nugget from Tom, that he said that they paid Kevin Young what they thought he was worth. That's pretty interesting that they just come in with a 7-year, $30 million deal. And I think what was so noteworthy about the deal was not that Kevin Young got paid. He was doing nice in Phoenix. And, hey, look.
Reported $2 million. Highest paid assistant.
Right. Good for Kevin Young to get paid by BYU. The commitment is sizable. 7 years, $30 million. I'm not a math expert, but that is a raise from what he's doing with the Suns. Good for you. What is more impactful for me, Mitch, is the investment into the program. They are taking this serious. They're all in. This is a conversation that many BYU fans, including myself, have had for years. If only we would put the money in, if only we would pay a coach, if only this, if only that. No more if onlys. The commitment is there from this administration and from this athletic department. That is exciting to think about the possibilities with no handcuffs on, we can't pay the going rate. No, they're paying more than the going rate. I love the commitment to this program from the administration. It's so exciting.
Well said, because fans have been getting told the last couple of years, you're going to pay more. And if you're a fan and you go, why am I paying more when you're not willing to pay more? Well, now it's out there that they are.
Yep.
And I think it's a little bit more, you're a little bit more willing as a fan to maybe pay an extra amount because you know that the team you're supporting is paying, you know, a top salary for a great coach. And I think it's an exciting narrative change for BYU that they're, and also an indictment that they have more resources than they tend to put off.
I think they're,
you know, BYU's got more than they people realize when it comes to BYU. And I've always believed that they have more to offer than you believe. This is an athletic department that's ran in the black year after year after year after year.
Right.
They've got the money, but they had to pay a premium here because that pool of candidates was limited, and they went out and got Kevin Young. We're taking a break. Hour number two coming up next. News, traffic, and weather, and Jake Toulson here on Cougar Sports Saturday.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
It's complete. Another touchdown!
Cougar Sports Saturday. A presentation of KSL Sports.
KSL Sports.
Left wing for three.
He got it again!
BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans for Cougar fans. Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte on Utah's legacy home of the Cougars. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back into Cougar Sports Saturday. We've been talking BYU hoops all day long. The next era, as BYU has put it, is underway with Kevin Young. And it's time to bring on our good friend Jake Toulson back to the program. Jake, let's just start with Kevin Young and your thoughts on the hire. Kind of crazy that BYU was able to grab someone from the NBA.
I'm very excited about the hire. I thought with just some of the short lists that we've seen him on in the past, and even this year, I think we snagged him from a couple of head coach vacancies in the NBA. I thought that, you know, maybe that was kind of wishful thinking, but says a lot about BYU and what we're able to offer for him to consider it and to ultimately take it. So I think it's best case scenario for BYU. We obviously wanted him, ponied up for him. And I think it's going to be a great fit. And I'm excited to see where it goes.
Do you think grabbing an NBA coach, in what ways do you feel like that can help the program?
Well, I mean, he's got so much experience and so much exposure from his time in the NBA. I mean, we've heard a little bit about, you know, some of his close connections and friends in the league, some of the greatest to ever do it. So having that experience is going to be huge for him. And then I think, you know, recruiting wise, it's a big sell to just play for a coach that understands the game at the highest level, and understands, you know, how to develop players and knows what it takes to play at the next level. I think that's going to be very valuable for BYU and for him to get really good players, because ultimately it comes down to getting players to come to BYU.
Can only imagine how turbulent and crazy it is to be a player to go through this kind of seismic change with Mark Pope going to Kentucky, and then they scramble and get a head coach in record time. You've been through this before when you were at Utah Valley. Mark Pope took the BYU job. You joined with him. What do you remember from just how crazy that is when your coach takes a new job? How difficult is that from a player's perspective?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I think from my perspective, I really had to think about what I wanted for myself. And I had so much, you know, experience with Coach Pope and was familiar with him. He was familiar with me. And, you know, I think these players are in a similar position where we're in the Big 12 finally. And Coach Pope, you know, he's been there for, you know, 4 years now, and he's got all his players. These are all his recruits. There's no leftovers anymore. Then you almost feel like I remember just feeling lost. I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do, where I'm going to be. But I think each player is, I think BYU is a place that players can feel, you know, comfortable and familiar with. And a new coach, it's going to be different. But I'm hoping that we can keep as much of that continuity as possible, because that's only going to help us just continue the momentum that we have.
What'd you think of Pope getting the Kentucky job? And in a way, the stars kind of aligned for him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've said it, but I was honestly just – I was shocked, but I wasn't surprised, if that makes any sense. Like, shocked that the stars aligned, if you will, and that it happened – but not surprised at all, because when we were at UVU practicing in the student wellness center and, like eating out of the cafeteria, we had no facilities, no resources, nothing. We're building that thing from scratch. I was like, Pope is not going to last here very long. He's not made for UVU. And then when I'm at BYU, obviously, that was his first year, but watching him since and just having played for him, I'm like, Pope, he might even be, you know, bigger than this. Like, his end game, I think, was always Kentucky. And I've said this before, I'll say it. I truly believe that Pope wasn't going to leave BYU for just, you know, some random Power Five job. Like, I don't know. I'm not going to, like, throw any names out there. But I think it was truly BYU or back to Kentucky, where he played, and he obviously has been very, vocal about his love for Kentucky and how much that place means to him and how it changed his life and shaped him. So I'm super, super happy for Coach Pope, and I have no doubt that he's going to be able to handle everything that comes with being the job of, or being the coach of Kentucky. And I'm excited to see, where they can take that and all the success that they're going to have.
Jake Toulson's our guest for a few more moments here, former BYU man. Coming back to Kevin Young, you referenced, that massive deal that he got that BYU was ponying up for BYU basketball. How much of a difference did you see in the commitment to the program from your first stint at BYU to the end? Because it feels like it just continues to evolve. But did you even notice a jump from your first stint to when you finished up at BYU?
Totally. Yeah, totally. I mean, I think BYU is aligned. We listened to Tom Holmo. We listened to President. And we know that sports is a big part of BYU and their mission. And coming into the Big 12, it's just like, you got to play ball if you're going to be in the Big 12. Like, so I think naturally things have occurred that way. But investing in a coach, especially like Kevin Young, is going to help us take all that momentum. And I think specifically at BYU in the NIL era, you have to invest in a coach, because at BYU specifically, when you're trying to recruit a good player, and maybe this player is not LDS, there's other good programs that are offering, obviously the campus, the coach, there's a lot of things that come into play. But if we're talking about just NIL, other programs are going to be able to offer as much, or if not more, than BYU. And so if BYU invests in their coach, that's what you're selling to the kid. This is an NBA coach. He knows these people. He's been this place. He understands the game at the highest level. So in recruiting, it's going to be a major advantage for us to get those kids that have offers from everywhere else. But I know NIL has been a big part of BYU, and we're starting to play ball there too. So investing in the coach is really going to pay off for us in the long run, because that's how we're going to get good players to come to BYU.
What do you hope to see the style of play looks like under Coach Young?
Yeah, I'm very excited. I'd love to, to look at or even have a conversation with him and just kind of understand what his philosophy is. But I love just freedom. I love being able to implement principles in different ways to play, read and react, rather than just calling, being very heavy on play calls. I just want to see, obviously he's going to put his best players in positions to be productive. But I love just movement, sharing the ball, playing as a unit. And I think, he's got all the tools in his tool bag to be able to, depending on personnel, really be an offensive juggernaut, if you will.
Ali Khalifa went to Louisville, and we still got a few players in the portal, Richie Saunders, Dallin Hall. This might be an unfair question to ask, Jake, but if you were to put yourself in their shoes and then they bring in Kevin Young from the NBA, would that sway you back to BYU, that NBA draw?
Absolutely. I think so. I mean, every circumstance or situation is different. And I think each player has a different perspective on what they want. NIL has become a big thing, so money is obviously involved now, which can kind of make things messy a little bit. But yeah, it depends on each kid, but BYU making a statement like this and going out and making sure they get their guy shows, from the top down, that they're not just going to sit around and wait for somebody to come save them. They're going out and they're making something happen. So as a player, I would be, invigorated by that and feel like, BYU is not messing around. Like, I want to come back and play for this coach and do everything that we were going to set out to do regardless. It's just kind of a change in the guard right now, but BYU has all the momentum.
When we talk about portal, I remember, you obviously were in that portal. Didn't you turn down some big-time programs, if I'm not mistaken? I thought Duke was in the mix for you when you were coming back to BYU.
Yeah. I mean, it was a different game back then because there was no NIL involved. I can't say that I blame any kid for going into the portal to leverage their value and their worth, but I think BYU is unique because of some of the tradition and some of these players at least being local and having ties to BYU. The coach is obviously going to be very important, but NIL's just changed the game. So I'm very optimistic about Richie and Dallin and the others that are in the portal. And I think, once you get on the phone with Kevin Young, get to know him a little bit, he's going to be able to kind of rally the troops and just keep moving forward from here.
The way that the season ended, Jake, obviously not ideal, leaving the Big 12 tournament maybe a little early and then the first round exit. What do you think this team needs? Like, what should Coach Young be looking for in the portal that can get them to the next level?
I mean, I think, it's hard to say because we don't know, things are kind of in flux right now with Richie and Dallin, assuming they're back. I think just filling out the roster with different kind of positional needs, obviously size and athleticism and things like that to be able to play defense in the Big 12, and rebound, that's going to be a big part, but, BYU obviously plays a very specific way or we kind of put people on notice this year by how many threes we shot and how efficient we were offensively. So guys that are going to be able to do a little bit of everything, pass, dribble, and shoot. I like just good cerebral basketball players that know the game. And I think Kevin Young, having played or having coached at the highest level, knows that, you want players that can think the game, and that they're smart, they're cerebral. And I think BYU has a lot of those guys on their roster, but guys that can just, adapt to any situation and be able to make those reads in real time, that's going to pay off for them.
One of the best three-point shooters in BYU basketball history, he's Jake Tolson. Jake, we always appreciate the time and hope to do this again down the road.
Of course, fellas. Thanks for having me.
Welcome back in Cougars Sports Saturday. been a fun show so far. We just had Jake Toulson on the program, kind of breaking down what it's like to be a player right now in a coaching change. He made his way back to BYU and had a great run, but good stuff from Jake, and we'll put that up on the podcast feed. What's next, Mitch? Kevin Young has been secured. What do you think he's working through right now as he juggles the Suns and putting together this program?
Recruiting is going to be huge, putting together the roster. But I think more important than that is the assistant coaches. He's got to get that in place. And I think an angle to this head coaching search that we didn't discuss enough is the time of how quick this right. came together. You know, typically BYU coaching searches go 14, 15 days. BYU admin, they push this thing through quick. We now know for head coaches, it can be quick. It's a quick process. But still, I don't think that's going to be the norm for every position. I think we're going to go back to the norm when it comes to the assistant coaches, where you might be looking at 10 to 14 days. That's not ideal because the portal is still open. But at the same time, you're looking at this roster and the guys that have stayed committed through all of this uncertainty. And now you've got a head coach that's got a great resume. Why leave? If you're Foose, why leave? I don't think there's any reason for Foose to leave. And you know what I want to say, too, with Foose, if he does stay, that guy should be viewed as a BYU star.
Right.
You know, just the fact that in this era, if he goes 4 straight years and he signed before NIL became a thing, that'd be pretty cool if Foose did stay. But I think that assistant coach is going to be critical for Kevin Young. And then just putting together the roster. You look at it right now, Matt, and the scholarship players on the roster at the moment: Noah Waterman, Trevin Nell, Trey Stewart, Atiki Aliatiki, Fusini Traore, Dawson Baker, Isaac Davis. I didn't include Jackson Robinson, who I assume would probably move on to Kentucky.
Why or
haven't
go to
we
the heard
NBA.
A word? It's so interesting.
He shared an ominous thing on IG of the Mark Pope presser, and it was kind of like that would be.
But he hasn't entered the portal.
He hasn't done anything yet. He's only done. Accepted the senior blanket, which was back in March when it was senior night. And it right. seemed like, you know, Mark Pope at that juncture when he was the head coach was basically saying his goodbyes to Jackson in the postgame press conference. But, yeah, nothing official yet from Jackson. So I'm not counting him in the list. Obviously, a very new story that was pushed out because of the hiring of Kevin Young. Colin Chandler, he's going to Kentucky. But that's your scholarship players, so there's room to work with if you're Kevin Young to assemble this roster. And, look, this is probably going to be a roster construction that goes on till probably July.
Right.
I mean, realistically,
yep.
It'll take time. You have to turn over every stone to
give us the portal timelines for the rest of this year.
Portal's open until May 1st.
But if you're in, you can still be contacted afterwards.
Yes, and there's a ton of players in. And if you're a graduate athlete, you can enter anytime. So in a way, too, the portal's in essence always open. And now the NCAA earlier this week cleared the runway officially that transfers can go as many times as they want without sitting out.
I hate that.
So we could get to a point now, Matt, where we're talking about players being at 4 schools 4 different years.
And playing every year. No sitting.
Right.
I hate it.
I hope we get to a point where we're learning that that's not the, you know, you don't want to build that way, and hopefully that can be the case. Anyway, we'll take a break. Top 5 coming up next, Cougar Sports Saturday here on KSL News Radio.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
It's complete and another touchdown!
Cougar Sports Saturday. A presentation of KSL Sports.
KSL Sports.
Left wing for 3.
He got it again!
BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans for Cougar fans. Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte, on Utah's legacy home of the Cougars. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
It's been a big week in sports here in the state of Utah. BYU, of course, getting Kevin Young, and then pro hockey, the NHL. Is coming to Utah. Ryan Smith just taking everything away from Arizona. Kevin Young, the Yotes, everything is coming to the state of Utah. We'll get to that NHL talk, maybe our favorite team names. I hope in this next segment, as we bring in our producer, Nate Slack, who is proudly wearing a Arizona Coyotes jersey right now. Hopefully he does not give us a top five list of hockey stats, because I might have to cheat if that was the case, because I would need to learn. We were in the break trying to say, could we name 10 NHL players? We did reach that.
Barely.
But they were all from like 1997 ESPN, Barry Melrose on the call. All right. It took us a lot. We got to learn hockey around here is what we're saying. Our producer, though, he does not need to learn hockey. He knows everything about it. But I hope and pray for our sake he does not turn the top five into a hockey segment. Let's get to the top five. As Nate Slack, the floor is yours. What's on deck this week?
Well, a big story this week was BYU fan and booster Ryan Smith purchasing the Arizona Coyotes and bringing the NHL to Utah.
Oh, no, you're doing it to us. You're going to go hockey.
The Coyotes aren't not in the playoffs.
He's ignoring me. He's going to go hockey here.
But they scored 86 goals since the beginning of March.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Which was the most in the NHL in the last couple months. And like the Coyotes, led the league in scoring the last couple months. We'll be taking a look at the leading scorer from each of the last five basketball seasons for BYU.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I was like, he's going to go BYU hockey on us or something. I'm like, oh, Nate, don't do that to us.
Not quite. So, taking a look at the last five seasons, the leading scorer for BYU, I will say there's one player that did it twice. And so, for those two seasons, I also have the backup player. So, there are six names for the top five this week.
Okay. Great. Who starts?
So Mitch is starting out. He also leads the series. So just kind of an overall record, we have Mitch leading 22-19. So.
Okay, great.
So leading scores in BYU men's basketball the last five seasons.
Yep, and you don't have to say the year, just say the name.
Okay. Well, this past season, Jackson Robinson.
Yep. So got the easy one out of the way. 14.2 points per game. Coming off the bench, but still nothing to complain about from Jackson.
Jackson had a really good year for BYU, and it is interesting when we talk it out why he hasn't formally made an announcement.
It really is.
I've mentally just written him off.
Maybe Devin Booker has gotten a call from him.
Hey, I mean, it would be fascinating, but it just seems that connection with Mark Pope, even in the post game at the NCAA tournament, he acknowledged, like, Mark Pope gave me my chance, my opportunity. He doesn't strike me as someone that's
emotionally connected to BYU. He needs to go to the NBA.
But if you're at Kentucky and they pay you maybe seven figures.
Fair.
Because they might do that.
If we're talking about, how do we get off on this tangent? If we're truly talking about, though, the best path to your career, it's now BYU because of Kevin Young in the NBA.
Sure.
I believe that. And I also believe I got the guy who is on the list twice, Alex Barcelo.
Yep, Barcelo in 2021, 2022, and then 2020 and 2021. He had 16.8 points per game as a senior and then 16.1 as a junior.
Just one of the most underrated great BYU players. I just love what he did. For whatever reason, when you think of the greats, I mean, obviously there's the top tier, Danny and Jimmer. And then the next tier, I mean, you can make a case he's in the next tier.
I hope next year. Barcelo said that he wanted to come back to BYU for that Kansas game. I hope he still does that. I hope, and I think one thing that Kevin Young should make a point of emphasis going forward, I'm not going to try to tell Kevin Young what to do.
Right.
Because I think he's already well ahead on this. Just make those Mark Pope guys that were influential on BYU hoops still feel connected to this program.
Yep.
I don't want to see the Alex Barcelos 20 years from now never step foot on campus. I hope, like he said, I want to be at that Kansas game when they play the Jayhawks in the Marriott Center. I hope that happens because, Barcelo was a great player for BYU, and I hope he still feels that strong connection despite his coach no longer being there.
All right, Mitch, you're up.
Okay, the first year of the Mark Pope era, let's go Yoeli Childs.
Yoeli Childs, 22.2 points per game. He missed a few games because of injury and then suspension, but 22 points a game when he was in playing.
Oh, yeah, you're at I forgot that 9-game suspension.
That was
when you look back at the Mark Pope moments. I almost don't look at the games as much with Mark Pope, which were some great ones. I mean, there were some huge wins, but some of the press conferences covering every step of the way. BYU did this weird, awkward thing where they were doing this summer foreign tour preview with the media. And then in the press conference, they drop Yoeli Childs is suspended. And I see that. I'm like, all right, they're going here during this press conference. Hey, Mark, your thoughts on Yoeli being suspended 9 games? Oh, we're going there, Mitch? All right. Yoeli, come up here. It's like, man. That's the story now. I mean, I know Italy's going to be nice and all, but Yoeli's getting suspended. And think about that, too. We're in a world where 5 years ago, Yoeli's getting suspended 9 games for paperwork. Now dudes are making $500,000. What are we doing? It's gone so crazy how much college sports has changed.
That's a good point. All right.
Last one for the win.
I think I only have one. You're up.
Yeah, so
you've got the opportunity for a win coming up if I blow this one. So we got – reset quick.
Yeah, so there's three names left. We have Jackson Robinson off the board, Alex Barcelo, and Yoeli Childs. So we still have last season and then one from – I guess the last three seasons we still have.
The last three seasons we still have? Mm-hmm. Last season is a blur, by the way. I don't know why it's so hard to remember last season. So let's try Rudy Williams.
He was in second place, so second leading scorer.
Let's go with Dallin Hall. No.
He did win the game against Idaho State.
Idaho State and Creighton.
And Creighton. Yeah.
And Missouri State.
Yep.
Come on, Dallin. We remember those moments. Come on back.
Come
on back. Embrace.
Step out of the portal. Turn down Duke. Turn down Oklahoma. What do they got? Come on. You saw that game day atmosphere in Norman. It's nothing. Come back to Provo.
Let's go with a guy that we once celebrated for turning down Kentucky, Matt Harms, runner-up.
No Matt Harms.
Who on earth was that leading scorer in the final WCC season?
I know. I'm having a hard time remembering the roster, to be honest with you.
It's a good point, because that was a dysfunctional year.
Yes,
it just really was. Like, let's just call it what it is now that... We were pretty candid after that year that it was a mess, but Mark Pope's not here anymore, so we can just... let's see.
And from that last WCC season, this guy has the fewest points per game on the list.
That doesn't help
one bit.
How about
this? Fusini Traore.
Oh, there you go. Yep.
Fus Traore, 12.9 points per game, so not anywhere as high as... say Yoeli 22 points, but yeah, good for the best on the team.
Yeah, Foose has just been a solid stud. And I hope that for him, that he can have a fully healthy season, because that final year in the WCC, he dealt with a hamstring. This past year, he dealt with a hamstring that took away most of his time in non-conference, and in conference play, he was never fully healthy. I hope for his sake, he can stay healthy, because when he's on, man, he is... awesome. And I just wish for him, too, that maybe this summer, hey, like, just grow 4 inches, because he could be in the league if he extends his range. But Foose is a heck of a player.
You won. That's it.
That's it.
Oh, I mean, I win. Yeah. I win. What's up, brother?
I'm still trying to figure out who the other two names are.
What's up, brother? Are you in on that trend?
What trend?
Sketch.
Yes. What's up, brother?
No.
Since birth?
Tuesday.
Ah, oh, come on, Nate knew.
Special plays, special players, special teams.
No, I'm not a part of it.
Oh.
Who are the other two names?
Us the rest of the list.
Yeah, so we got T. John Lucas.
You're kidding me. Wow. T. John led the team?
Yeah,
he crossed my mind. I'm like, there's no way. T. John wasn't very good.
Wow.
Yeah, so he was second place to Alex Barcelo. He had 10.4.
Don't give us the bar. We got to get the Harms-Barcelo year. Yeah. So it wasn't Harms or Barcelo.
No. No.
And that team went to the tournament.
Uh-huh.
And lost to UCLA.
Brandon Averett.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, the UVU guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Oklahoma State UVU guy.
Brandon Averett. I had totally forgotten about him.
And you probably forgot about him even more because his X account got hacked by those Bitcoin spammers. So now it's just a bunch of Bitcoin tweets. And I'm like, why is this still populating on my feed? Why do I follow this account that's occupied by like a little emoji bird looking thing? You know, one of those Bitcoin birds. And it's like, oh yeah. Anyway, BA forever.
Wow, Tijon led the team. I don't remember that one bit.
Neither
you?
Do I. No.
There was a bit of a drop off. Alex Barcelo had 16.8 that season. but Tijon Lucas was second place with 10 points per game.
So. You know, it's an interesting thought, too, when you bring up Tijon Lucas, Brandon Averett, Matt Harms.
Seneca Knight.
He didn't make a difference. No. But do you think that – you wonder, will Kevin Young lean into those type of players? And I say just 1 year, that's it. My first feeling would be maybe no.
I don't think so.
But if for maybe this first season to fill a gap potentially, but I don't think he's going to turn to that well as much as Pope did.
If you think about this year's team to me is what BYU should become under Kevin Young. Dallin Hall, you get him out of high school, had connections.
Yes.
Foose Traore, no connections, but a local kid at Wasatch High School, you go and get him. He's been really nice.
And faith-based background. He's Muslim, and right. He likes the structure of BYU.
Faith-based. Trevin Nell, local kid, right? I know he didn't commit here out of high school, yeah. But has only played here.
From Woods Cross,
absolutely. And Richie Saunders, local connections. Trey Stewart played a little bit, local. Atiki, not local, but been also here since high school.
Muslim, too, and faith-based.
And then you supplement that with a Jackson Robinson out of the portal. That turned out to be a really nice fit, and that worked out great for BYU. I feel like I might be missing Noah Waterman, the same thing, a transfer portal, ended up working out. But
Spencer Johnson
did get him as a didn't start at BYU, but again, a local kid. I just feel like keep it local.
Hmm.
And hopefully you can continue to, or maybe not continue, but better able to grab high-profile athletes who have connections to the school or are a part of the faith, and then supplement with a portal guy with 1 or 2 years. But I think you have to keep that organic pipeline flowing. That's just what works at BYU. We've seen that time and time again, and I hope that Kevin Young leans into that.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And I think that if he's going to go to the portal, he has to. I mean, you got to dip into the portal a little
for
bit.
For sure.
You have to, but I think it will be more in the mold of underclassmen to develop them and get them prepared for the NBA and have that pitch. You know, if you can get some amazing one-year Hunter Dickinson-type big man, and I know Hunter Dickinson didn't lead Kansas to glory by any means, but still, I'd take a Hunter Dickinson for 1 year.
We've done that. Matt Harms.
Yes.
And he was solid.
Yeah. He was WCC Defensive Player of the Year. If you can get that type of guy, sure, you're taking that one and done. But I don't think you're going to do.
But you don't want to do that 5-6 times. That's the
right.
thing. And they might have to this year.
Yes.
But down the road, hopefully it's.
And especially you don't want to. I feel like I'd love to dive in. One of the things I want to do this summer is to dive in on the success rate of players that are going 3 and 4 schools. It doesn't strike me that they're having much success. Jackson Robinson might be an exception, but he's not the standard.
Totally.
Like Tijon Lucas was Wisconsin, Green Bay, Milwaukee, or Wisconsin, Milwaukee, then he was Illinois, and then it was BYU, or I'm mixing up that order. But I don't feel like that's the blueprint. You got to get, like, if you're going to get a transfer, just one guy that maybe was at a smaller school, has got 2-3 years to work with, that to me is maybe more the mold that you turn to in the portal more times than not, unless it's some superstar that's got only 1 year left.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff. Let's take a break here on the other side. Let's touch on that hockey news. That was significant.
Yes.
We'll break that down and maybe give our preferences on what the name's going to be, because it's not going to be the Coyotes. So we'll and they got to figure that out fast. So we'll discuss that on the other side. Been a great week at the Biamonte house, guys. I've got these outdoor lights on my house. I have a sick obsession with colorful lighting, and I think my wife actually low-key hates it but tolerates it.
That doesn't surprise me with you, because you're an Apple diehard. Yeah. And I always see that, like, that multicolored, like, light bulb thing.
Yes.
And I don't understand how it works, but it's like Matt being an Apple guru, next level diehard Apple guy. Like, this is a surprise, but you're the light, colorful.
I'm the light guy. Like, I just bought this light strip on the back of my TV that will, like, match what's on the TV. And I'm just like, this is unbelievable. It's taking it to the next level. And my wife's like, don't care. What a waste. Anyways, I made sure to light up the house with BYU blue all week long. I've just been so excited about that Kevin Young news. But that wasn't the only piece of significant news this week.
Nope.
And look, you're the hockey guy.
So I love hockey, man.
How significant? Just tell us how big of a deal this is that Ryan Smith and the state of Utah now have acquired the Coyote franchise. They're leaving the name behind, so they need a new name. Just how significant is this, Nate?
Oh, it's massive. I mean, have you guys been to a Utah Grizzlies game?
No.
I have been.
You have?
Yes.
What do you think?
I always enjoy them. I just like being at live sporting events, but I think where I struggle is I just don't know the rules of hockey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one thing about hockey that I don't know, almost like the culture of the sport. And
like icing, you don't know what it is.
Yeah. Like I kind of have a general idea. Like I know soccer more than I would hockey. And maybe it's just I haven't forced myself to learn more. But I'll tell you what, seeing an NHL at the highest level, I'm way more interested.
I was going to just say, you know, Grizzlies games are fun, but NHL games, it's a totally different level. I went to games in Detroit, in Anaheim, Denver. I mean, these games are so fun. The energy inside the stadiums, it's such a fast-paced game. One thing I love, just after watching basketball for the last 4 months, the nicest thing about hockey for me is that the refs play no impact. You don't have to worry about guys with foul trouble, and you almost don't see the refs there at all.
That's nice.
But it's just fun. The environment's awesome.
High scoring?
It's definitely higher scoring than soccer. Well, you won't have a lot of like 1-0 games.
I was going to say that it seems like now the NHL, I've been kind of doing a deep dive, listening to some of these national pundits talk about the NHL coming to Salt Lake, and there's, of course, these stereotypes of like NHL fans. Can you even, you know, all these, you know, stereotypes of, you know, the jokes that are thrown out about Utah. But they did say a lot of these national analysts have said that the sport is offensive more than ever before. It's
not these
1-0 knockout, drag out like hockey matches anymore. It's like you'll get a game where it maybe is 5-4 or something. And that's pretty big. That's high, you know, entertainment for a hockey game. So, and the thing is, I'm curious too, Nate. So we talked with Nate Slack here about NHL coming to Utah. Seems like the Vegas team, instant success. Seattle's had some success. I feel like Utah will not let this market fail or let this franchise fail. And the Coyotes bring a lot of assets over to this Utah team.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of good draft picks they have. I think they have one first round pick, and then I think 5 second round picks this next draft. And it's not like the NBA draft. It's a lot more like baseball, where, you know, the second round draft pick, there's still a whole lot of good talent. It's not kind of like the lower end of the draft.
It's not like the NBA draft this year, where after the first four picks, there's nothing left.
Yes, exactly. And honestly, there's a whole lot of good talent already on the Coyotes. But one thing I'm really excited about this offseason is that Ryan Smith is already talking about bringing in some really big signings for free agents. And hockey is nice because it's not like NBA guys where they're kind of divas and they don't want to be in Salt Lake. And there was that whole thing about the nightlife a couple years ago.
Right.
I mean, a lot of these guys are from Europe. They're from, you know, Finland and
Canada.
They love to be in the cooler areas. They love to be by mountains. And there's a lot of current NHL players who have homes in Park City already. And so it's a desirable spot. It's not going to be something that Jazz fans are used to with free agents that want to come to Utah, because it's going to be just a totally different
name preference quickly before we get to break.
Utah Yeti.
Yeti. You like the Yetis?
I want Yeti.
I think the Yetis would produce the best and coolest looking logo.
Yes.
You?
Yeah. New name, probably Outlaws or Yeti, maybe.
Yeti. I don't hate the idea of the Utah Hockey Club.
I think that's going to be this year because they're probably
that's
not
going back to that Apple. Sleek, yeah. Crisp, Utah Hockey Club. That's why Matt likes it. He's all in on Apple. It seems sleek and crisp.
It does. Let's take a break. News, traffic, and weather coming your way on the other side. Let's do a little football. I know it's been a lot of hoops, but we did catch up with a lot of players at the end of spring football. Maybe the starting quarterback, Jake Retzlaff, he'll join us on the other side.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
It's complete.
Cougar Sports Saturday, a presentation of KSL Sports.
KSL Sports.
Left wing for three.
He got it again!
BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans for Cougar fans. Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. On Utah's legacy home of the Cougars. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Been a big week for BYU with their new basketball coach, Kevin Young. His Phoenix Suns are in action right now. It's 23-22 late in the first, Minnesota. I think there is a heavy brooding interest of BYU fans for Minnesota to win this series so Kevin Young can get back to BYU quickly and take over full time for BYU. Right now, though, let's switch gears a little bit. BYU football spring practice is in the rearview mirror, and after the final practice of spring football, the media were invited down to get a bunch of interviews with players. So we had a chance to catch up with Jake Retzlaff, Gary Bohannon, Jack Kelly, and a lot of those dudes. We'll be playing those interviews throughout summer leading up to the start of fall camp for BYU football. Here's my conversation, a one-on-one with Jake Retzlaff, who's vying to be the starting quarterback. And let's just start things off with how spring football was for Jake.
It's been a blast. It's been so fun to get back out there with the guys and, you know, being in the mix. It's like getting all those snaps with all those different receivers, and all those guys are all coming back. So they've all seen it before, and so it's so fun to just get that, keep going. I think that our offense is so far ahead relative to a year ago, and it's so fun to see. And so it's been a great spring.
How much does continuity and just, you know, you're not new to Provo anymore, you've been here a while, and I think that applies to a lot of people who came in from last year. How big of a difference does that make?
Huge difference. Huge, especially this offense. This offense with so many wrinkles and stuff, like, I'll tell you what, we don't have a lot of different, like, when it comes to concepts, but we have a million plays because we can do so many different things that are so many different ways. And so just being able to be in this offense, understanding the different ins and outs of it, been huge at, like, receiver this year because we got so many guys coming for year two. Been huge at tight end. We got guys that are getting significant time. You know, when a veteran like Isaac Rex is leaving the room, you know, to the NFL, it's like, all right, and the next guy step up. It's been so cool to see those guys own that and play really well. O-line, same thing. It's been just a blast to be. Year two, you get to just take it to another level, so it's a lot of fun.
What was the end of last season like until where we're at today for you?
Once the season ended, you know, it was a weird ending to the year. You know, obviously the record is not fun to look at, but the way we played in the last two games to compete with two top teams in the country, it was like, okay, we got something. There's no doubt about that. It's like, let's find it and let's improve on it, and I feel like that's what we were doing this spring. And so that's just been so fun to just expand on and just to find that identity, find that competitive edge that we have here, and own that and be that offense that we know we can be. And so it's been fun to just develop that and become that.
What type of offense do you feel like you guys can be?
An explosive one. Scores a lot of points on Saturdays. I mean, we could be the offense that wins in, you know, 60-point games if we need, you know what I mean? So it's super exciting to see what we're doing in the spring.
How much of an emphasis was it for you in spring ball to take care of the football? A-Rod noted no picks in spring ball. That's impressive. Like, how high of a priority was that?
I mean, obviously that's up there protecting the ball. You got to have the ball to score. You got to have the ball to win the game. So that's a big deal always. And so just like the ability to do that in the spring, you know, is just a testament to the guys around me, to be honest with you. I mean, I can't do it with the guys around me. I can't, you know, without those guys being in the spots that they need to be at and that they are at and some, they just they make it way easier on me. The O-line, they make it way easier on me. Tight ends, those guys, those receivers, the separation they create, just make it easy on me. And so then I just go out there and try not to screw it up for them.
We're talking with Jake Retzlaff here. What's your summer plans going to be?
That's a great question. Maybe golf a little bit. But, yeah, just stay in the weight room, get faster, get bigger. That's where I'm going to be here all summer, pretty much. I mean, I'll get to go home for a little bit here and there, and that'll be awesome to go enjoy the beach because you don't get that here. And then get that back home. But, yeah, so just, you know, get with the guys too, do things with the guys. You know, I love this locker room we got. And so just being able to hang out with those guys and build that chemistry even more, it'll be fun.
How often do you think you'll get together with the receivers and throw in the summer? I think that's a big part of summer, is you guys just doing your own thing away from the coaches. How big of a priority is that?
Yeah, it for sure is a priority. One thing, though, is like we push ourselves really hard in these summer workouts, so being smart about it when we do it and stuff like that. And it'll be a gradual increase. You know, we might not start throwing at all as in these first few weeks. We probably won't. It's like, guys, take a break from football. We'll just work out. And then, you know, as we get closer and closer and closer to play around practices and stuff like that, then we'll amp it up more and more and more. So it'll be, you know, just like a gradual process to get back into it. But for now, it's like spring ball's over with. It was a good spring. So it's like, all right, let's take a little
a little break from ball, which is really healthy, really good for the guys. You get to go do some other things and then come back even sharper.
You mentioned the beach. What are some of those other things you love to do, and maybe even around Provo? Like, now that you've been here for a while, what do you think of Provo?
Well, Aaron and Klein might not like it, but I love playing like basketball and baseball and stuff like that. So, doing stuff like that's really fun. Just being outside playing sports, just every sport, pickleball, spike ball, everything. So I just love being outside and running around and hanging out with good people. So,
were you a multi-sport athlete in high school?
Yeah, I played football, basketball, and baseball in high school all the way through. And basketball cut short. My senior year I didn't play because we had COVID, everything was mixed up. But yep. Other than that, the other 3 years I played all three. And had a blast playing all three.
What do you think, this is a little off the beaten path here, but what do you think about playing multiple sports helping you eventually in the sport you choose to play versus specializing in one sport and staying in that?
Well, a lot of people, when they watch me play, they see the funny arm angles and stuff, but if you just pull up to one baseball game, you see all of those times 10, like all those angles times 10. And so, like, if people just understand that, that's not that crazy of a thing to do. People are doing it in other sports in a million different ways. And so play every sport as long as you can is what I would say to a young athlete and young people who are trying to develop athletes. Like, just play every sport as long as you can, because, one, you just get to develop different parts of you and just be able to surprise some people, bring some things. Like, you always bring things from, you know, basketball to baseball, from baseball to football. Like, you're just bringing, you're borrowing skills from other sports constantly. And it just allows you to breed your creativity as well. Like, to be able to realize, to draw connections that, like, oh, I do this in baseball, and the same movement is how I do this in football. Like, if you, hitting and throwing are two very similar movements, even though they might not look like it. Throwing on the run is like throwing on the baseball diamond. So it's cool to draw those connections and to be able to expand upon it and be like, oh, okay, so I do this in baseball. This I could probably do here also in whatever it is. So it's cool to see how that has affected my game. And I think you're seeing more and more quarterbacks at the professional level, like, oh, yeah, they all have baseball backgrounds. So, yeah.
A few more moments here with Jake Retzlaff. Are there any games this fall that you're especially looking forward to playing? I know you want to play in them all, but, you know, I just think of it from a fan's perspective. You're always like, oh, there's this one, there's that one. Are there any of those for you?
That's an easy answer. November 9th, by the way, just a little up the road north of here. If you don't know what I'm talking about, then figure it out, honestly. That's the one that circled, highlighted, starred, and everything. It's going to be a big one, and I'm super excited for it. You win that game, and in this town, you go down as a hero. So I'm really excited for this team to be able to build into that and go down as some heroes and come back to Provo to whatever parade we have.
Yeah, a few weeks back, there was the alumni game. Steve Young shows up. You talked to them. Like, what was it like being able to interact with a guy like Steve Young?
It's incredible, and he's just such a cool dude, so, like, down to earth. And just he's just a football player, dude, just running around out there. He's still running around everywhere. Like, I don't think he walked across the field once. He kept jogging around. So it's cool to see that guy. It's funny. We could sit in this room and talk about what are the three things you would ask Steve Young if you met him. But going to do it, I believe you don't remember any questions that you'd ask him. So at first I was like, oh, hey, I'm Jake. I play quarterback here like you did. I got to pick his brain a little bit and to learn some things from him. So he's one of those guys that, like, he asks a question, who would you want to sit down for 5 minutes with or have dinner with or something like that, and just, you know, pick their brain. He's one of those guys in the football world. And so to be able to meet him and to talk to him a little bit was a blessing, and I hope to see that guy come back around here more often.
Can you give any advice on playing this position at BYU? It's such an iconic position in Provo. Did he have anything to say to you?
I asked him. I said, you've had a lot of success in the game in at all levels, and I said, what was different about those teams, the Super Bowls, the team that usually won MVP? Like, what was different about that? And as simple and as, like, it sounds, it's like all it was basically was after every play, just turn the page and play a new play. And he told me, he used the term reflexive grittiness, and it was basically explained to me as, you, no matter what happens to play before, good or bad, you come back and you play the next play for what it is. So, and that just, like, speaks volumes to you today. He was there in practice today. We had a couple bad plays on offense, and I was like, all right, well, whatever. Now let's go just kick their butt. And so I think we did that. It was a lot of fun.
You see any other NFL dudes roaming around? I mean, there's just – this has got to be the golden era of BYU players in the NFL. Do you ever see them walking around here?
Yeah, I mean, Jaren's been here a lot. Zach came through at one point in the spring. Those are the young guys. You got a guy like Lee Johnson, like, walking around here, like – People don't understand. That guy is hilarious. He's like, he's got like something running through his veins that is not normal. But that guy's got so much energy. It's so fun to be around and just talk to him. And that's a guy that like, he's just a legend and doesn't act like it. And nobody knows it. Like, he's so cool like that. And it's fun to see those guys walking around these buildings. And, you know, obviously like up in, just in this, you know, building that we're sitting in right now, you got guys like Tom Homo, Robbie Bosco. Those guys work here. You know, Chad Lewis, those guys work here. I get to see them all the time. It's just a blessing to be able to have those guys around the building.
Two more things for you. Do you have a favorite uniform?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know. I mean, a lot of fans might not like it, but I really like our Navy. Our Navy looks really good, and I think people hate on it a little too much. I don't know why, but our Navy looks really good. I don't know. I can't pick a specific jersey. The All Black was so sweet. Most people I talk to love the All Black. So we hope to be able to bring that one back. And so it's hard to choose one off the top of my head because we got a lot of good combination, and Josh does a great job mixing it up.
All right, that's Jake Retzlaff. Caught up with him at the end of spring practice. Let's take a break. On the other side, probably get back to some hoops with the significant news of the week, a new head basketball coach, Kevin Young. We'll get back to basketball right after this. The Suns and the T-Wolves are in the first half up in Minnesota, tied at 32. Obviously, this has implications for BYU.
Never thought we'd have Minnesota T-Wolves versus Phoenix Suns updates on Cougar Sports Saturday.
I keep going back and forth, Mitch, on, like, does Kevin need to be here quick, or does it matter much? And I see both sides of it. Part of me thinks it's not that big of a deal because when he's not at this game and he's not at practice, he's just going to be doing Zoom calls and texts, and you need to be here to do that. Because I just don't think that players, I don't know, you don't need a campus visit to sway a player. You really don't. You don't need an in-person interview to hire a candidate either. That can be done over Zoom, over Teams, whatever it is. But at the same time, I do think there is also the value of in-person. So where do you land on that? I can't decide if it matters, if Phoenix advances or not.
If this was right after the season ended against Duquesne, I'd say, you know, tail end of March, I would have said I'd rather have him here because that's a lot of time to get assurances. But it feels like you kind of know who's on board and who's not.
Yep.
Already.
Right.
And I just feel like with where the roster's at now, and he noted this, that recruiting is becoming more like the NBA in college basketball. And I agree. To your point, it's no longer about, you know, waiting, you know, as when they're in ninth grade and recruiting day after day after day and hoping that they sign with you in the senior year. That's not the case anymore. Now it's 2-week recruitments. And that can be done a lot virtually and Zoom. And if you're Kevin Young, where you're getting, you know, new into this game, and he's got a brother that's got deep connections in the recruiting game, so he's got a great resource to turn to. But you're probably the guys that are gonna give you an attention at this stage. They probably know you and maybe have some sort of knowledge of you, and they're willing to give you a chance, whether it's virtually or in person.
Yep.
So I'm okay with him coaching, and I liked his angle of saying, hey, let's leverage the Suns' potential run into expanding the BYU story. And I know that for myself on my job, you bet when the Suns are getting some wins or they make some noteworthy plays or Devin Booker has some big moment, I'm probably going to write about it because – it links back to BYU basketball and Kevin Young and this program. So I'm actually okay with him being the coach right now and juggling both. I'm not bent out of shape of him not just being 24/7 on the ground in Provo right now.
I'm not either. And I think maybe the longer this goes, too, it continues to be a story where Kevin's having such a big impact. Because, look, a lot of Suns, we already heard from Devin Booker. Here's what the general manager, James Jones, from Phoenix had to say about Kevin Young coming to BYU.
I'm so excited for him. We're so excited for him. But it's bittersweet. We spent a lot of time together. He's been instrumental in what we've built here in Phoenix. But it's an opportunity for him to show the world how great of a coach he is. And they're extremely fortunate to have him. I know we have been. But it's bittersweet. But we have unfinished business. And we'll close it out the right way and send him home with victories.
That was James Jones, Suns GM. He's former, you know, Miami Heat player back in the day. This was also Suns head coach Frank Vogel on Kevin Young getting the Suns job.
Yeah, we're thrilled that he's, you know, he's going to be with us through the duration. You know, he's going to help us compete for this championship, and he's in the fight. He's committed to that, so we're thrilled about that. And he's done a great job, you know, with me. I think the Suns fans have to appreciate his contributions are obviously beyond this year. You know, with their finals run and, you know, the teams they've had over the last 4 or 5 years that he's been here, he's had a big factor in this franchise's success. And he was great for me, has been great for me throughout the course of this year. You know, having relationships with some of the players in house, and, you know, some of the corporate knowledge of the organization.
Right.
You know, I think all of that stuff is valuable. Whoever you have, it was Miles Simon for me in LA, you know, the one holdover from the previous staff. Those guys are invaluable in the transition, you know, and KY has become a really close friend. I'm super happy for him. They are beyond lucky to have him at BYU, and he's going to do a great job.
Beyond lucky. That's pretty cool. And again, just correction, BYU job. I said Suns job. But, you know, it's cool to hear Frank Vogel, James Jones giving high praise to BYU's new head man.
You know what? I might be connecting dots that don't exist. That commentary from Vogel makes me think he's keeping someone from this staff. Just think about how much praise Vogel just gave Young for being a resource from the previous regime. Got to imagine that will trickle to Kevin. Right?
From BYU staff.
From BYU's.
Yeah.
Like a Nick Robinson. Like,
I think that would make a lot of sense.
I think it would.
And I think that Nick Robinson would probably come in and he wouldn't have, well, this is how we did it before. I think he'd come in with a clean slate.
For sure.
And just embrace what Kevin Young's vision is and just give
Nick
perspective.
Nick had a coaching career before Mark Pope. Right. Whereas Chris Burgess has had a very little coaching career outside of Mark Pope. Right. He started really at Utah Valley. I know he had the year before,
sure.
But really got cut his teeth with Pope at UVU and then BYU. Robinson has done it other ways before.
And Robinson just can give that, this is how this player has responded when faced with adversity. He can give that insight. And I think that's where the value comes with retaining. It might not be so much the recruiting background of Nick Robinson, but just like, this is how this athlete has fared in his mental well-being throughout his time at BYU, and when adversity strikes, this is how he responds, or when success hits him, how he fares. I think that can be instrumental in Kevin Young thinking, okay, that's valuable intel that you otherwise can't obtain in a box.
Or even why are we practicing at this time? Why did we do it this way? Oh,
good
okay,
point.
Well, I don't want to do it that way anymore. Or, okay, let's keep doing it. So let's take a break. News, traffic, and weather coming your way. On the other side, if you missed our interview with Jake Toulson, we'll replay that and then wrap up the show after that. Been a loaded show, Mitch. Having a lot of fun all week long talking BYU hoops. Just, it is amazing the turnaround this university made in a week's time, where it was just so sad and depressing. I was at Disneyland and I was sad. I couldn't even talk myself into a churro when I got the news. The weather got a little chilly and I'm like, this is miserable. I don't know what BYU's going to do. I don't want a churro. My fast passes have expired and I'm cold at Disneyland. Just get me home. And then a week later, it's like the highest of highs. BYU hoops has never been more exciting in terms of their long-term future possibilities. The money is there. The investment's there. It's been a lot of fun, man, this week.
It's been a blast, and I think it was honestly the best outcome Cougar Nation could have asked for. And I think one thing that we got to mention, too, before we get out, President Shane Reese, what a tone setter. You know, like, President Reese, he's saying to Cougar Nation, we're going to do great in the academic side, and we're going to live out the mission of the church. But at the same time, we want to win big. And it's noteworthy whenever a president is showing up to – women's soccer and even swimming, that guy's at everything. And because he loves sports, he was even at the NHL press conference to support Ryan Smith. Like, that guy loves sports, and I think that is a refreshing thing for the diehard BYU sports fans out there.
Diehard BYU sports fans are going to be excited about this one. Not sure if you guys saw this past week, but at the BYU baseball game, there are some pictures floating out of a new wrapper for the Cougar Tail so that the frosting doesn't stick to the top of
You're
the
kidding.
Donut.
That's amazing. I'm looking at the picture now. It's like a little, what is it, not a box. It's a rectangle because the old sleeve was just that. It was a sleeve. Like, you just put it in and then.
Like you'd put a baguette in, except for you got frosting on top of this
exactly.
thing.
Exactly. That eliminates the frosting on the top. Wow. This is, how did we not lead with this?
It's a good point.
This is bigger than Kevin Young.
It's going to be easier to share, too, because like you're like sliding it out and it's like. Yeah, this is great.
The next thing the Cougar Tail team needs to put out, permanent chocolate donut.
They're so overrated, Mitch. I don't know. You did this on purpose.
Line up the Cougar Tail kid. Let's get his insight. Remember him?
Yes.
It has changed a lot in the last 6 weeks.
Hey, this is completely out of left field, but on the notes of Cougar Tails, what's the next new flavor you'd like them to roll out? We got chocolate. We've obviously had maple forever. What's the next?
I'd like a cake donut version. Like a sprinkle, white frosting sprinkle cake style donut.
What about like a flavored icing?
Okay.
Strawberry or something?
Strawberry, maybe birthday cake. Obviously, as you can tell, I like the sugary stuff.
Yes.
Excessive sugar intake by
strawberry seems like a natural next step because they've got the strawberry chocolate milk at the creamery.
Great pull.
So
give me any sort of BYU creamery milk and I'm in.
Got one more for you guys. We got some new rule changes in college football this year. The main ones are the 2-minute warning, helmet communication, and sideline tablets. Are you guys excited about any of these?
I love the helmet communication one.
Yep.
How was this not used the last 20 years when you think about it?
Right.
The 2-minute warning I don't like. I don't like that because
it's more stoppage.
That, and it's going to be more ads, and it just feels more like the NFL. I want college football's product to still feel like college football, and that's my knock on that. But, hey, I mean, rules are changing. It continues to change. Everything that we knew about college football 5 years ago, that's out the window, and it's shifting to a different sport as we continue to move on. Great stuff. Nate Slack, our producer, follow him on X, NateSlack5. Great work to you as well, Matt. Biamonte, Matt, you can finally eat your Disney churro, or heck, go to the BYU baseball game and eat a Cougar Tail out of the fresh new packaging. Big thanks to all of you. I'm Mitch Harper, and we will talk next week here on Cougar Sports Saturday on KSL News Radio.